You don't need everybody to care as much as you do. You just need a few key people. And those are the people who like keep you going when times are tough.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. This week's episode is great. I get to sit down with a new friend, Katie. I feel like she will be a friend for a long time. And her company is Clean Bees, a cleaning company here in Northern Colorado. And I love this story because you might know this about me, but I have a disproportionate love for stories that are not overnight successes, because that's just the way most stories are. But we've kind of glorified the overnight successes. We've glorified the stories where people grow to several million dollars in a year or two, when for a lot of people, it might take a decade or two. And that's a little bit more realistic. And so I love Katie's story because she's just been faithful and has done really good work. And I think that you will learn a lot from it. Also, it's really fun to think about just cleaning our house, because it's something that a lot of us do, but a lot of us probably don't like doing. And so talking about, should you hire somebody to clean your house, and what's the benefit of actually having a cleaning company come in and do it? So I hope you love this episode as much as I loved the conversation with her. And without further ado, let's go ahead and dive right in. Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the podcast designed for business owners, marketers, and entrepreneurs wanting to make an impact through the work that they do. I'm your host, Seth Silvers, and my passion is building brands that last by marketing with stories. On this podcast, we share stories with you of people who are growing their businesses the right way, and we teach you how to grow what you're doing through storytelling and authentic marketing. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, to the Small Business Storytellers. This week, we are sitting down with Katie from Clean Bees. And I'm excited because there are so many local businesses in communities around the country. And I feel like a lot of people are trying to start businesses, but not as many people have actually been, you know, faithfully growing them year after year after year. And so Katie came highly recommended from one of our mutual friends, Kurt Baer, who many of the podcast listeners know from some of our previous episodes. And so, Katie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to know, yes, about Clean Bees and what you do, but then we'd love to just kind of dive a little bit more into your story and how you've gotten here. But could you give the listeners kind of some insight into just what does your life look like right now? Who are you? And what is your business? What do you guys do?
Well, that's a big question. Okay. So my life right now looks easy. And to sit here after 20 years of running a business and to have that roll out of my mouth is almost unfathomable. I never thought that I would be to the point where my business didn't own me, run me into the ground. And right now it feels good. It feels easy. I've been running Clean Bees. We're a housekeeping service here in Fort Collins. We serve only Fort Collins, and we're going on our 20th year of business here in Fort Collins. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
You started in 98.
Well, actually 2000 is when.
Okay. You started in 2000.
2000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How big is the business now? Like how many staff do you have? I guess different people measure kind of size in different ways, but like what's the kind of size of where you guys are at right now?
So currently we have about $1 million in revenue.
Okay.
We have an office team of about 4 people and a cleaning team of about 25 to 30 at any given time.
Did you start it on purpose, or did it start like on accident, just cleaning houses?
Totally on accident.
Okay. Tell us about that.
I moved to Fort Collins from Orlando, Florida, and I had grown up in an environment where my background before I moved here, and I was young, you know, I moved to Colorado when I was 20, and my work history was, my specialty was fine dining restaurant work. And when I moved to Colorado, that didn't really exist. I kind of fell into cleaning while I was waiting for residency to get into Colorado State University. And I found myself, you know, kind of taking some of the lessons that I had learned in fine dining and suddenly applying them to housekeeping. And I was just kind of like trying to grind it out and make my way through college. And but that love of the client and the attention to detail and the putting the experience above all else kind of it translated really easy from fine dining restaurant work into housekeeping, believe it or not. So I started by accident. You know, it was just kind of what I was doing to make ends meet, just trying to find a job while I was in college. And then took me a long time to graduate. And because as I was at CSU attending courses, suddenly I realized, oh my gosh, this business is growing. And it wasn't until probably halfway into my experience at this point, probably 10 years in, and I know it sounds absolutely absurd to say out loud, but it wasn't until 10 years in that I was like, I'm going to be a business owner. I was like, oh, wait, I don't, you know, my background was, I had gone to CSU for an undergrad in history. And it wasn't until I graduated, until I was done with school, until the only thing that was left in my life was this business that somehow had grown almost despite myself. Mm-hmm. It was probably only 10 years in. You know, I had clean houses on my own and hired a handful of people. And it wasn't until then that I really decided to run a business. So I
were you doing it full time at the moment?
At that point, yeah. After college, yeah. So while I was
what
in
was
college,
there, was there like a was there like a specific moment that you remember realizing like, wait, okay, I'm going to do this thing. Yeah. Like, where were you? What was going on?
Well, I had, you know, I think everybody graduates from college and they're like, okay, what am I going to do next? And I think I was maybe kind of grappling with that same concept. What am I going to do next? Because I knew I didn't want to be in the histories and I knew that wasn't my cup of tea, even though that was my educational background. And I didn't really want to do that work. So while I was trying to say what's going to be my big girl job, I realized that I had, you know, a full grown business that was just standing there. I was like, oh, whoa, it's here. and then I absolutely poured my heart and soul into it. And that's when I realized that I loved it. That's when I realized that, you know, I love running a business. I love all the moving parts and pieces and the challenge and the idea that no 2 days are really all that similar. And it's been such an outlet to creative thinking and problem solving that I might have been running Clean Bees for 20 years, but I always say the last 10 have been really valuable. And it wasn't until I joined a peer advisory group in the last 3 years that I think really took off. So
what have you loved about it? You said that kind of when that transition happened, that was when you began to love it. Now you've been kind of in that season for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Why do you kind of love what you are doing?
You know, I think my team is impeccable. The people who do this crazy business with me are everything to me. So, you know, I think what I love about it is the people who care as much as I do. My office team is my heart and soul. So
have you been able to find people that care as much as you do? Because I've heard some people that tell business owners, like, you can't expect your employees to care about things as much as you do, like in an ownership sense. So how have you gotten people to step into that really like caring about it to a similar degree as you do?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can recreate the magic. Yeah.
That's why we brought you here today. So you can recreate it for us. No.
You know, I think that there have been some people who, in some ways we've kind of grown up together. You know, there's a handful of people in my office that we're counting decades that we've worked together at this point. And, yeah, I think you can have people care as much as you do. Absolutely. I mean, can you have a company of 45 where everybody cares as much as you? Maybe no.
Yeah.
But you don't need everybody to care as much as you do. You just need a few key people. And those are the people who like keep you going when times are tough. And it's because of those women that, I mean, we've laughed together. We've cried together. There's been babies born. There's been births and deaths. And, you know, we've experienced life together. And I think it's because of them that I'm still sitting here today, 20 years later. So yes, I think you can absolutely have people who care as much as you do.
Has there been,
and sometimes it's important to mention the that sometimes they don't care too. Yeah. And that's okay. Like it doesn't, every day isn't going to be unikitties and sprinkles and rainbows. You know, there are some days where it's tough and it doesn't matter. Like every day isn't easy. And I think that's not fair to ask of yourself as a business owner or of anybody who works with you. You can't, that intensity isn't sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. There are hard days, but I like what you just said. Some days are unikitties.
Yes. Some days are unikitties.
Has there been an intentionality from you to like really, like, I guess, cultivate like a culture on your team where people can be involved and can care and stuff? I'm like, that doesn't happen accidentally. Yeah. Like businesses can happen accidentally, I feel like.
Yes.
But businesses that really last, where you have people that buy in and you can stick around for 20 years, like that doesn't happen accidentally. So what have been some things that you've done intentionally to really make sure that there's like a culture that people are excited to be a part of?
Gosh, I wish the women who run my office were sitting here because they'd probably have a better answer for you. But I think the thing that has been cultivated, and dare I say, I don't know if it was intentional or not, is a friendship. And I think it's through that friendship and through caring about solving the problems together and making a work environment that people want to show up to, even if it's hard, you know, and even if you have a day where you're like, God, I don't really want to go solve those problems today, but we do it for each other. And I think it's that friendship that has allowed us to stick together for so long.
You're fine. Okay. I think your phone's still connected.
It's not me. It's not me. So I think, you know, we have an atmosphere at Clean Bees of teamwork, of listening and being heard, of bringing your problems and solutions to the table, and to be creative and to solve the problems. And not just, you know, one of the things I love about a small business is we don't have a lot of red tape. You have a problem. We're going to sit down, we're going to brainstorm our way through it. We're going to come up with the path of least resistance, and then we're going to execute a good idea. And I think that that helps people feel like, you know, their work is important, and it's it feels easier when you have a team that has that mentality. So, but I think it's the friendships that have endured, you know, and it's not just amongst my office team. It extends to the trainers and to some extent the cleaning team at large. So, yeah.
What does your team look like? You said you have four office people. Yep. And then I'm guessing there's.
There's a handful of trainers. Okay. and then we have,
and those are trainers that are training cleaners.
Yeah. Okay. They train cleaners. Yep. So they walk people through that. You know, this is a skill set that, requires practice. It requires an apprenticeship like practice, to learn how to do it well. And so our training team are those core people that take them through that process and help them do it. And I think that they're that extension of, friends that they pass on their secret knowledge mm-hmm. to all the other people who come into Clean Bees. So they're invaluable as well.
Yeah. So you've been growing over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of specifically curious to ask a little bit about the recession.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I don't get not too many business owners.
Not many business owners like the R word.
Yeah. Well, and not many business owners were doing their current business at that time.
It's like a true story.
And so what was that?
Through one.
Yeah. What was that season like, and kind of how did it affect your business, and how did you get through that?
Well, I certainly had less, we weren't that big. So let's start by saying it wasn't as big and scary as I certainly have way more invested in the business at this point. And in some ways, well, so let's take a step back. You know, housekeeping is a luxury item. Not everybody has to have their house cleaned. And certainly in times of recession, people could look at a cleaning industry and say, oh God, you're going to be the first hit. But to be honest, that wasn't my experience the last time.
Wow.
My experience personally was that Fort Collins is a strong community. We have really good financial infrastructures. The work base is diverse. You know, we have everything in town from, well, currently, you know, Technologies and Otterbox and CSU. And I mean, there's enough of a diverse workforce, that we don't have all our eggs in one basket. So did we lose some clients? Yes. But I'll tell you, a vast majority of people who dual income families, they value their jobs. They want to hold on to them. Right. They're putting more time and effort. And I think as a society, we really value our time off. We value our time off with our families. And we don't want to spend the weekend cleaning our house. Mm-hmm. And if I like cleaning, but I don't want to spend my weekend scrubbing blinds and wiping off baseboards and mopping floors. And I want to take what little precious time I have off and spend right. it with my family. And I think that even in a recession, it's even more important to show up and put your best foot forward in your work environment. Absolutely. So we really didn't feel that, you know, we might've had some clients who went from weekly to every other week or every other mm-hmm. week to monthly. Yeah. Maybe they scale back a little, maybe they, needed to skip one cleaning, but right. we really didn't have that big of a loss. And a couple people who, were in government jobs specifically during some times of turmoil, mm-hmm. They come right back. You know, they don't want to do this right. task. They want somebody else. Like, you yeah. do it. You do it. You yep. do it really well, so I don't have to.
How, like, for people that are listening that have never hired a cleaner and they're just listening to this and thinking, like,
it's glorious.
Well, I hate cleaning.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, like, why should they do it? And how much do people actually pay to, like, bring in a professional cleaning company yeah. like you? And justify that in a sense of, like, why is it worth it?
Oh. It's the best thing in the whole world. Okay. When you walk in the door, have you ever had your house cleaned?
No.
Okay. Do you clean it yourself?
I try.
Okay. Or do you just live in filth?
we don't live in filth.
Okay.
We're very good at, like, starting projects, mm-hmm. starting cleaning things, and then we get distracted.
Yeah.
It's so hard. I feel like we like live in, like, a house that is constantly, like, clean in segments.
Yes. Yes. So at the end of the day, you've put your time into your small business. Mm-hmm. The other members of the family have put in their time. And when you get home at the end of the day and it is cleaning day, it is like pure joy to walk in the door. Everything is just so, you know, the bathrooms are clean, the towels are folded, the trash is taken out, the cans are lined, the kitchen is spotless, the dishes are done, all the dust bunnies have been found, the floor is clean. And when you walk in there, you have this sense of peace, you know, that you can really mm-hmm. just relax with the people that you love and enjoy your space. And it is glorious. So if you've never had a housekeeper, I highly recommend one. And, you know, in general, I would say that even there's a lot of different cleaning companies out there and everybody right. has a specialty. Everybody has, you know, they specialize in something quick and superficial and cheap all the way up to highly detail oriented and mm-hmm. comprehensive in nature. And so depending on your style of clean and how often, what frequency you might pick, it depends on what yeah. you end up spending. But we have some clients who have, you know, something as simple as monthly, I just want the bathrooms done. Might spend, you know, $100. And then we have, you know, the Cadillac version where mm-hmm. I want the whole thing done every single week. Right. And people spend an enormous amount of money. And it is really interesting what people will do to own their own time again.
Do you have your team? How do you clean your house?
Yeah.
Is your house clean?
Oh, okay. So we have a joke in the industry that people who think their house is dirty, they're really clean. And people who think their house is clean are probably really dirty. So I'm going to tell you, I think my house is dirty all the time. But if you walked in, you would probably judge it as a clean home.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you're like, I don't know if you have like inspectors or trainers, like if your mm-hmm. trainers came in, would they be like, okay, this passes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, my house is clean.
Yeah, in my industry, marketing companies usually suck at marketing themselves.
Yeah, of course.
It's like you don't want to hire a website company to build you a website when their website sucks.
Yeah. But I will say we train in my house, so I'm a little okay. bit spoiled. So there you go. We train in the house and they make their way through it.
So you mentioned like it's amazing what people will do to buy back their time.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit more, and I'm guessing if your business is based on kind of the industry of time, mm-hmm. guessing that's been important to you.
Yeah.
So like how have you, I guess, just like began to own that from like a business side, but also a personal side of just really seeing the importance of someone's time and serving them in a way that you can save them time, but also like, are there things you're doing to like buy back your time?
Yeah. I'm spoiled. I will not clean my own house because I, like you, cannot make, I can't make it through my own home. I get distracted. Mm-hmm. The phone rings. Oh, I got to go pay that bill. Oh, right. Somebody's knocking on the door. Oh, now it's time to go to Labor Day picnic.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get through my own house either. So I think there's a value in just having somebody who can like whip through it and stay focused is really nice. So, you know, what we can do with two people in a handful of hours or, you know, 2 or 3 hours, depending on the size and scope of the job, most people just can't stay focused in their own space like that. So it's hard to clean your own house. It's hard to take the time to build your own website.
Yeah.
It is. It's really difficult to stay on task like that. So, you know, I think that people want to spend time. A vast majority of our clients are dual income families that have children. And most people just want to spend time with their family. And I think when we have a society that really most people work a lot, mm-hmm. you know, and it is hard to stay on top of that task. It's kind of relentless. As soon as it's clean, it's dirty again. So,
yeah.
I think it's nice just to own your time and own your weekends and be able to spend time with friends and family and not right. worry about that task.
Yeah.
And since it's mostly socially unacceptable to live in filth, you know,
right. Yeah, that's a plus.
Yeah, that's a plus.
I would imagine that you run, and I don't know if you actually run into this or if people keep these thoughts in their head, but I would imagine there's a decent amount of people that, just because of like some of the social stigmas, that women probably are like, well, I'm a woman, so I'm supposed to clean my house.
Yeah.
Or they're like, oh, it's like, I can't hire someone else to come into my house. That like those stigmas, they're stigmas. They're not actually true. Like they might've been true in the family you grew up in or whatever, yeah. but do you run into some of those barriers at times where people
yeah.
are, it's really like a battle of themselves. They're like, no, I feel like, what will people think if I'm bringing in a cleaner and I'm supposed
yeah.
to clean my own house?
Like, so it's actually really interesting from a sales perspective. I did sales in my own company for a really long time, and now I have somebody who's way better at it than I ever was. She's wonderful, but sometimes we joke about what it means to be in somebody's home. First of all, it's your sacred space. And we experience everything from shame to joy, and how people feel about having somebody come into their home and clean for them is really interesting. And I think it has to do with what generation you're from.
Interesting.
Right. So if we interview an older client, they might feel like they're not so happy about having to pay somebody else to do it. Right. It's one more thing I can't do.
Right.
My body is giving out and I like yeah. to do that. My grandma would be a great example.
Yeah. But I mean, they grew up trying to, you know, yeah. what can you do to save money?
Like, yeah. Oh, totally kind of different.
You do it all.
Yeah. Totally different relationship with that. And then you have kind of this, what I love about the up and coming generation who's starting, you know, the people who are in their 40s now.
Like, we don't want to do anything.
They want their time back. Yeah. They want their time back. They yep. know how to enjoy. I think it's kind of truly work hard, play hard. And when they hire a housekeeper, they feel like they've made it.
Hmm.
Right. And so that's like the pinnacle of yeah. success is like you come in and you do it. And
yeah.
but in that sales consultation, it is tricky.
Yeah.
It really does depend on who you're interviewing.
So diving into the sales side, like, can you just share this? Like, I mean, the simple question is, how have you grown over
yeah.
the last 20 years? Like, what have been some things that you have done to just continue to grow and be getting new clients and really the tacticals of the growth side for you?
You know, I hate to boil it down and make it seem so simple, but I think the secret sauce, you know, so to speak, when it comes to growing I think what's been successful for the business I run is the relationships. My love language, I always joke that my love language is quality time and words of affirmation. And I think that radiates in Clean Bees. And the relationships are everything, both on the client side and the cleaner, the staff side. From the client side, you know, people want, if you're going to pay somebody to do your dirty work for you, we got to do it really well.
Right.
And
how long do people usually stay with you as clients?
Oh, we don't really lose people. You know, they might move, they might get divorced, they might pass away. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are the hard ones. I mean, do we disappoint people on occasion? Yes, of course we do.
I guess if a client gets divorced, it's almost like duplicating
two clients. Yeah, we've had that happen too. That's tricky. Not that you would ever
no. hope for that, but
That gets tricky. Yeah. So, but I think when you take on a new client and you take the time to get to know them and interview them and find out what they really need help with so that they can come home at the end of their day and feel like it was money well spent, having an in-person sales consult, you know, having somebody who does that, we're one of the last companies that does it. Most people just sell over the phone.
Yeah. Tell me what's different about your process than others.
I think it starts with that. I mean, without going into really nerdy, boring details, I would just say, you know, it starts with, seeing every job ahead of time, but it's not about seeing the job. It's about meeting the people, and understanding what it is that they want and what they're looking for, and building a service that really solves their problem for them. Not just, you know, oh, you want your house clean? Okay, great. We'll be there on Tuesday. You know, that seems like leaving a lot to chance. Mm-hmm. So getting out what's important to them and then passing it on to the cleaning team, and bridging the gap between a client's needs and training people properly to do it. Yeah. So
have there been any moments over the last 20 years where you've like considered throwing in the towel, or just where it has not been, what do you say? Unikitties. Like kitty corn, unikitties. Could you share with us some of those moments where you didn't know if you wanted to keep going, and what helped you to push through this?
Well, if anybody who knows me is listening, they would be laughing because I've thought about throwing in the towel all the time. It's hard. You know, this is a tough business, and it's relentless. And I think when you care so deeply that everything goes right, it can be really tough when things don't go well. You know, I think when you start to scale a business and, you know, you want every meal that you create to wow somebody, and you mm-hmm. want every website to capture everything about that business. And when people are disappointed, that's hard. Mm-hmm. It can be a little soul crushing. It can feel like a tidal wave.
Right.
And I think as you've run a business and you start to learn how to minimize those things, and then they don't feel like a tidal wave, it feels like a little pebble in the pond. But for me, it was hard. It was hard to learn how to get over some of the mistakes, and to be okay that if you made a mistake, you have to own that. And that was tough cookies for me personally. Hmm. So, and I think that, you know, learning how to make money in a business is hard, and it's not all about making money, but if you don't remember to pay yourself, yikes.
Yeah. What were some of those?
Then you want to really throw in the towel. You're like, why am I doing this to myself?
What were some moments, or like kind of on the money side of it, what were some moments along the way where you realized like, oh, this is a huge, this is a huge factor in actually making money. Like just kind of some of those from a finance perspective, like some key things that stand out of just things that have helped you make progress towards that over the last few years.
I would start by saying that, you know, the money side of things for the first 10 years, I'm going to say didn't really matter. Thank you, Michael, because it didn't really matter. I have a partner who helped carry a lot of the weight. It's certainly not that I didn't make money, but mm-hmm. I didn't make great money. It was okay. it wasn't until I really started paying attention to the numbers and wanting to see those improve and learning how to put all the parts and pieces together that I finally felt like I was well paid, not just well paid as in the industry, but well paid as a business owner. Mm-hmm. And that took a while for me. It was probably one of my biggest lessons personally was learning how to pay myself. Some people are so much better at that. And I just wasn't.
How does that, I mean, I can relate because I own a business and that's been an interesting thing for me. But like, I feel like some people listening, they're like, well, that's not that hard. You just pay yourself. Like
yeah.
you just like,
yeah, you just cut yourself a check.
Yeah. Like, why is that hard? And how did you, was there like a, you know, a book you read or like a mentor? Like, how did you finally get to a place where you're like, this is how I'm going to pay myself? And because that's, It's something that sounds so simple.
It's not simple.
I know I've like had conversations with my wife before where she's like, how is this? Like, why don't you just pay yourself? I'm like, well, I don't know. Like it should be simple, but we make it really complicated as business owners. So how did you come to a place where you felt like you were actually, I guess you felt comfortable with your process there?
So I think your last question and this one can be married together at this point, which is, you know, I kind of said after graduating from college and finding that I had this business that was up and running and, I don't want to go off on too many tangents, but I really needed to learn how to, perfection isn't scalable, but processes are. And I had to learn how to create some processes for the business that were efficient. And I love doing stuff like that. I think I just needed to put that together in my head.
Right.
And we needed to get some things that were super scalable because it's one thing to have a couple of employees, and a handful of clients. That's a whole nother thing to have hundreds and hundreds of employees or hundreds and hundreds of clients and lots of employees, you know, mm-hmm. to make that leap and to create those processes, are time consuming. They require time, money, and resources. And because I'm perfectionistic in nature, I can overspend on processes and people and getting it there, so to speak. So there was a day I felt like I had spent, you know, 2 years really trying to make everything perfect, a training program and branding and website. And I had really done all the good things, right? And the sales process. And I, at the end of the week, I was like, or payday, I was like, there's no money left. What is happening around here? And I had kind of been living that life for too long. And I was like, I am just so, so done. I'm always the last to be paid. It's hard to pay yourself first.
Yeah.
It really is when you're first starting out. And there's so many expenses that I think people just don't realize are going to be coming at you all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I joined Think Tank. Andrea, a couple years before joining Think Tank, really helped me dig through some financials and put things into perspective for the industry. And I really had to rely on other people to help me see that because I just didn't for a really long time. I know other people start off and they're like, this is how we're going to make money. And I was like, that was the last thing on my chopping block. The first thing on my chopping block was, how do I make sure people love the product that we deliver?
Right.
And I think when you focus on that too much, that can become
a
it's a
balance.
It is a balance. So.
But people probably need to focus on that side of it more, I'd say. The product side.
Yeah.
I think you're rare. I think a lot of people are really excited to make money and not as excited to serve customers.
Yeah. Well, when I it's interesting because the more business owners I meet, I'm like, they're so good at making money. They put that first. Mm-hmm. And in some ways I'm envious that people could do that from the beginning. Mine was definitely the other way around. I cared about our clients and the employees and the processes and how they felt about their job and making sure they felt good and all the parts and pieces were there. And that's expensive.
Yep. Have you heard of the like profit first mentality?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Yeah. I heard about that for the first time, like 2 years ago. I think it was on a podcast and then I read his book. Mm-hmm. And although we don't follow it to a T, the like concept of, knowing where all of your money, which as I'm saying this, it's like, this sounds so simple.
It sounds so simple.
But like knowing where your money is going before, like initially deciding where it's going before and knowing even for smaller businesses, like realizing paying yourself off of a percentage as a business owner might be the best bet. Mm-hmm. And really trusting that when you pay yourself and when you take care of yourself, that you're going to be able to bring more to the table.
Yeah.
Just energy wise and commitment wise.
Absolutely.
Have there been some moments, where you've just thought to yourself, like, this has been worth it, like where you've kind of reaped some of the benefit? And it doesn't have to be financially. It might be, you know, freedom can come in so many ways, but, talk to us about one or two of the moments probably more recently where you've realized like this has paid off, like 20 years of doing this. Like, sure, I'm sure you have other aspirations too, but where you've realized this is worth it.
It definitely had to do with my family. You know, when my son was born, he's 10 now. I took maybe 4 to 6 weeks off and it wasn't enough. And I felt like the business was getting bigger and I needed to be there. And it was really hard to be a mom of a young child trying to run a successful business. And I felt like I missed out a lot on his life when he was younger. And it wasn't, gosh, I don't remember the exact moment, but I remember it was just this moment of being able, this day, this, I can't even tell you which one it was, but he had something going on at his school in the middle of the day and I was able to just go. And I know that sounds simple, but the phone was being answered, you know, bills are being paid, cleanings are happening. I have managers who are making sure everything is being taken care of. Emails are covered, business is running, I'm getting paid, and it's the middle of the week and I'm sitting, in my son's school for, I think it was like a music performance in the middle of the day. And I used to think to myself, who are all these people who can go in the middle of the day? And, I remember totally breaking down in tears. Both because my son was sitting there singing and that's adorable in of itself, but just being able to be present. I never thought that I would have that. I always thought my business was going to run me to death and that I was needed all the time. And knowing that I have the team that can do it for me, that moment was so pivotal for me. And now that's been repeated numerous times because of the team I have. But there was a moment where I was like, gosh, I'm never going to be able to be that person who just shows up in the middle of the day.
That's powerful.
It was amazing.
That's awesome. What's next for you?
I absolutely love training people. I love when people feel successful at work. I like people to have their very best fit. We take a lot of time to interview people to make sure that...
For clients?
For cleaners.
Oh, okay.
For the cleaning team. Okay. So... we take a great deal of time interviewing and cultivating good relationships with our staff, and to walk them through how to give exceptional, outstanding service, not just in the quality of the work that they provide, but also in the small details. Mm-hmm. And, the next thing on my chopping block is I'd love to develop a training, a line of videos to train other people's cleaners in their business. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And is there like, are there other cleaning businesses around the country that are like looking for like, how can we,
like, I have a sense there is, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Training is kind of a relentless task in cleaning. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to clean forever. You have to get used to that. And you're always interviewing, hiring, and building new teams.
Right.
And to standardize a training program and to help people feel really successful at work is relentless. Mm-hmm. And we don't really have a good training program. There isn't a good one. And it's what I'm most passionate about. So
then that would be something that people maybe like buy from you, or they purchase access, mm-hmm. and then that's kind of when they hire new people, they can say, go through this program.
And when you go through the program, you can rest assured that your new hire is perfection driven and knows how to offer great, knows how to offer that outstanding experience. So I'm excited about doing that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's exciting. Most of the people listening are business owners or aspiring business owners, or they're building or starting things. What would some of just your words of encouragement be, or words of advice be, to the audience of other business owners? Mm.
It's okay to learn things slowly. I think that, God, you know, there's so many more resources, like podcasts. I'm going to compare myself to this person. I'm going to social media. I'm going to compare myself to others in my industry or other business owners, it's totally okay to just go slow and make mistakes and learn from them and develop and fine tune. And you don't have to compare yourself to everybody else. You just take it slow, live and learn, slow growth. You'll thank yourself later for that.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. Well, I know that our listeners will be encouraged. I feel I love, you know, overnight successes are cool. It's fun to see. And
yeah, totally.
I don't know. Maybe I'll do something. It'll be
successful. Maybe that's my next business.
Yeah. Your next business. Yeah. Being an overnight success. Yeah.
Training videos.
There you go.
Taking over the world. Just kidding.
But I think it's just so refreshing and so real to sit down with people that have just been faithful and have been committed to a good product and taking care of people for decades.
Decades.
And you have a lot of time left. You're not old.
Yeah, thank you.
So I think it's exciting to see that and exciting to sit down with you. So I appreciate you coming in here and just being willing to share some of your story and what you've learned along the way.
It's been fun.
Good. What's the best way that people can get in touch with your business or find out more?
Ooh, for all of those Fort Culliners who don't want to clean their own house.
Yes.
They just jump on the website and request an estimate, and then we come out and we meet them and we build them the most perfect cleaning. It's amazing.
Awesome. What's your website?
Cleanbees.com.
Very cool. And you mentioned your branding is great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I felt like I always enjoy seeing local businesses who have beautiful brands, and you can tell that there's been attention and detail there and stuff. So
the aesthetics of Clean Bees matter.
It's
the
true.
Website, that, the brand, that's true. The brand that's products, good, my office.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I want it to look good. I want it to look good. So
that's wonderful. Well, thanks again for being here. We will link to your website in the show notes, and I encourage anybody that is in Fort Collins to take a look at that. And maybe if there's other cleaning businesses listening, to stay in touch with Clean Bees in the case that those training videos come out.
So. Yeah, they're going to be fun. Thank you so much for having me. It was nice.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next time. This podcast was produced by Story On Media and Marketing, and our passion is helping small businesses use stories to grow their business, and we create a community that helps you do just that. So if you don't have the budget to hire a big agency, but you really want to learn how to navigate online marketing, how to tell better stories, and really how to build a brand that lasts, then our program, Success with Stories Elite, is for you. Every single week, we give you new trainings, content ideas, and content blueprints to make marketing with stories easy. To join our community, head over to www.successwithstories.com/elite, or just click on the link in our show notes. Again, that's successwithstories.com/elite. Have an awesome day, and let us know what you loved about this episode by leaving a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you so much. My name is Seth Silvers, and I will see you next time.